morning. Today's Daf Mam Metzia is Mem Gimel. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf is on the Zechon Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. I have two stories to say over from the Gemara from yesterday's Daf and Mem Beis and Beis. And then we can begin today's Daf. Yesterday's Daf, we talked about the depositing of money by people. So the Mishnah gave a number of examples of what is considered to be inadequate ways of washing money. And then the Gemara launched into a discussion of how to take care of our money, both from a physical aspect and also just in terms of good sound financial advice. The Gemara focused and revolved around money. So then the Gemara dealt with a couple of cases which were a little bit more challenging cases to, in terms of how to judge. We saw the Amoraim consult with one another in terms of how to judge them. So we are in that line of thinking where we're going to go over a couple more stories. And the Amoraim were a little bit challenged in terms of how to rule in some of these cases. So two more stories to say over today. We're in Mem Beis Amud Beis. About eight lines on the top of the Amud, we are up to, it's the last word in the line, Hahu. Hahu apotropa diasme. So there was an apotropos, let's not call him a custodian, the administrator, that's a better word. So there was an administrator who was administrating over the estate of orphans, the Zavalu Turaliasme. So what he did is he took some money from the estate and he bought oxen with that money. And then he gave it to a herdsman in order to take care of. Just in general, the administrator's fiduciary responsibility with the money is that he has to be as conservative as possible. So in other words, he's not allowed to sell property from of the estate. And generally speaking, he has to be very, very conservative in terms of how he deals with the money. So just the idea that he took money to buy oxen in of itself is a little bit strange. But, okay. But anyway, but for whatever reasons, meaning we don't know all the details, but for whatever reason, the estate needed it, the kids needed the ox. So anyway, so he bought an ox with the money of the estate, and he handed it over to a herdsman to watch it. So, lo havelei kech v'shini. Now, this particular ox had a small problem, and that the ox didn't have teeth. No teeth to the ox. Umes. And so what happened was is that you tried feeding the animal, you know, quote-unquote regular food, but the animal couldn't chew it. The animal subsequently died of starvation. So Amar Rabbi Bachama, so now there's a lot of responsibility to throw around over here. And a lot of people could be on the hook for having to pay for this now dead animal. So Amar Rabbi Bachama, hechi nidaini dina lahai dina. So Rabbi Bachama says, so what are we going to do over here? How are we going to judge this case? Name Alayla Petrapa Zushlim. So now maybe we should say the administrator, look, you took on the responsibility of administrating and you bought the animal and now the animal's dead and so therefore you're financially on the hook. So Amar, Anala Bikar Masarti. So the administrator said, wait one second, hold, I did buy the animal, that part's true, but I didn't take care of the animal. In fact, I handed it over to a professional herdsman in order to take care of the animal. So I think I'm in the clear. So
why isn't this not even a make thought to begin with?
We'll get to that. So name Alela Bakara Zoshlim. So now we turn to the herdsman, we say, okay, you the herdsman, you're responsible. So Amar Ana Bahadi Turukumta Uchle Shadaile. So lo have you dina delo achal. So his response is, give me a break. Meaning, what did I do? I took the animal in order to watch. I put the animal with my other animals. I threw food in front of it. Meaning, I did my responsibility. I should be in the financial clear. Now, michti bekari shomer sachar diasme hui bai leli yune. So the Gemara says, wait one second. That herdsman is not getting a pass because the herdsman is a professional, and as a professional, it's his responsibility. He's a shomer sachar. He's getting paid to watch the animal. So as a shomer sachar, when you're getting paid to watch the animal, so you are responsible to know these things. It is your responsibility to know. You, the herdsman, it's your responsibility to know that the animal didn't have teeth. That's something you should have investigated. So, So the Gemara says, you know what? Yeah, the buck stops with the herdsman. The herdsman actually is responsible. He is a shomer sachar. He is a professional. And so he really is the one who is required to investigate, look into it, and he should have known that the animal didn't have teeth. So the Gemara says, and if there was an actual loss, so then the herdsman would be responsible. But, as Ben pointed out just a moment ago, but there actually is somebody who is more fundamentally financially responsible, and that's whoever sold the animal. So the Gemara says, Diasma, excuse me. The case in question over here, that actually the Yisomim themselves never suffered a financial loss to begin with. Why? Because what we ended up doing is we went to the original person who sold the animal, and we basically went back to him and said, you didn't tell us that the animal was toothless. That's important information. That's something we should have known. Therefore, they're going back to the original owner of the animal, and they said to him, this falls under the category of mekach taos. Okay, so now the sale is voided. So once the sale is voided, so now it is the responsibility. It's beyond a responsibility. The money that was transferred was not transferred. The sale was voided. The money is being returned back to the estate. So the truth of the matter, says the Gemara, is that really fundamentally the estate never even lost money. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, yeah, but there is some sort of case. Somebody is making a claim. So over here, so who's making the claim? So Mar Detura Katayin. So now the claim is being made by the original owner, meaning it's a Mekach Taos. The sale is voided. That part we got, and that's clear. The claim over here is being made by the original owner of the animal, who still actually is the owner, meaning even though there was a sale, the sale is voided. So the original owner of the animal, who is now still the owner of the animal, so now he's saying to the apotropis, look, it's a Mekach Taos. The animal really belongs to me. But when you handed it over to the herdsman, you didn't think it'd be nice if you told him that the animal's toothless, but Ibaile le doin. So you should have told him. So the Gemara says, "My modin le, made the yada the mekach taos ave." So the Gemara says, "Wait 1 second, right? Didn't we just say it's a mekach taos? If it's a mekach taos, that means that the administrator didn't know this information. So how could he have told the herdsman that the animal's toothless if that's information he himself didn't know? And evidence to the fact that he didn't know this is because it was a mekach taos. Clearly, he didn't know. So the Gemara says, "Besafsire dezava mehacha maz melahacha." So the Gemara says, "Well, we are talking about a safsire, meaning that the basically." The one who was the one who sold the animal was basically he was a middleman. In other words, basically what he does is he buys here and he sells here. So the Gemara says, so it's the middleman now who apparently knew this information but didn't relay this information. So the Gemara says, Hilkach mishtabi iu de lo haviyada mashlam bakra de mei bas bezol. So the Gemara says, so you have to make a shvua that he didn't know he, the safsara, the middleman, didn't know that the animal was toothless, so he's going to now be free and clear from any responsibility, any liability, because, once again, he didn't know that the animal was toothless. The administrator himself is also going to be in the clear, and the one who's left actually being responsible is going to be the herdsman, meaning the herdsman who was a paid watchman, so he had the achrayas, he had the responsibility of knowing these things. And so therefore he's going to have to pay. But the Gemara does concede, however, that in terms of what he has to pay, so he doesn't have to pay for the full value of the animal, but he has to pay what is the cheaper sale price of the meat of the loss. And again, who is he going to be paying to? So he's not paying to the administrator, and he's not paying to the estate, because they're both going to be free and clear. And as far as the estate is concerned, the estate got a reimbursement back from the original seller, because it was a mekach taos. So what the herdsman's going to be doing is he's going to be paying the bas basol, the cheap meat rate, back to the original owner, because he is the one ultimately who had that liability.
But couldn't the middleman say it was mekach taos when he bought it from
somebody? Right. In other words, no. He's also free and clear. The Gemara says he'll just simply swear that he didn't know the animal was toothless, and he'll be in the clear as well. Okay. Au gavra di ifke kishusa gabechavre. One more story. There was a person who left kishusa hops, the beer hops, by his friend havale ledide nami kir dikshusa. So. There is a shomer, and the shomer was asked to wash somebody else's hops, and the shomer himself had his own hops. So there were two piles of hops on his possession. one actually his own, and one that he is entrusted to watch that was given to him by somebody else. So Amalei Sar say, so now the Shomer says to his brewmaster, let's go make up a batch of beer. And Mehai Rame. So, and he points to a pile of hops and he says, take it from here. Okay, now it'd be a little bit better if we actually saw how all this looked. In other words, the actual schematic of where his own hops were and where his and where the Nifkad's hops are. But anyway, either way, there were two piles. One belonged to him, and one he was watching. And so he says, "Go take from here." But he was pointing to his own. So Rama Miidach. Now, what the brewmaster did is he took the pile of hops, but not the one that was owned by the shomer, but that the one that was being watched by the shomer. He took the wrong pile. So Amrav Amam Hechen Adani Dina Lahaidina, once again, that expression which links all these stories together. So what are we going to do in terms of judging the case? So name Alayli Didei Zilshlim. So Amr Ana Amr Le Mehai Rami. So let's talk now about the Shomer. Shomer's got to pay. Shomer says, why do I have to pay? I turned to my brewmaster and I said to him, take from here. But I pointed to my own. So I told him to take mine. I didn't think to take the other one. So I should be fine. So name Alayli Sar Se Zilshlim. So now we turn to the brewmaster and we say, okay, you're the one who was irresponsible. Amar lo amar le mehai rami mehai lo tir me. Brewmaster said, look, I wasn't given very clear instructions. I was told, take from here. I noticed there were a couple of piles. And he didn't say to me, take from here and don't take from here. He just simply said, take from here. So I'm left to assume it could have gone either way. And furthermore, let's assume, and that's why I said the schematic over here is a little bit would be a little bit better in terms of us understanding, but let's assume that the Shomer's own hops was actually more closer, it was more proximate to the brewmaster. And the hops that he was watching was at a further distance. And the brewmaster basically took his time to get the hops. Basically, it was pretty clear from the lapse of time that he was not getting the pile of the Shomer, but he was getting the pile that the Shomer was watching. And it didn't seem like the Shomer was bothered by it. So basically what the Gemara is arguing in defense of the brewmaster is that the instructions were not clear enough where he was supposed to take only this and not the other pile. So the Gemara says, but the lo shah. So the Gemara says, okay, well maybe there was no time lapse. So the Gemara says, so my pseudika. So the Gemara says, now when all said and done, I'm not really following the question. Meaning what happened? The brewmaster took the wrong pile of hops. Okay, so go now back to the owner of the other pile and simply say to him, look, really sorry. We took your hops by accident. My brewmaster took your hops by accident. I'll give you my hops. Okay. Then the Gemara says, so why is it so difficult as a case to judge? V'haka mishtar shilei. So Amar Avzama Brei Derava De have a shichra chala. So the Gemara gives a couple suggestions of why this turned into a legal case. One possibility says the Gemara, I mean, well, the Gemara is like giving answers, like as if like it's not clear what happened after this point in time. And the Gemara now seems to be speculating in terms of what exactly happened, meaning it's an actual case. So it's a little bit, I'm just commenting that it's a little bit strange that we're right now guessing in terms of what happened. So the Gemara says, Amar Abisama Bered Deravada Havishikhar Chala. So one possibility is that when he made the brew using the wrong pile of hops, so it turned into vinegar, right? It soured. So basically now it's not that simple where, oh, I use his hops, I made beer with his hops, I'll just replace it with mine. Meanwhile, when I made beer with his hops, it didn't turn out good. It turned out bad. So that's one reason why there's legality involved. And Rav Ashi Amar Bikisi Umashamle Demekisi. So the Gemara says another possibility is that the hops that he was actually supposed to watch, that he was watching, was really inferior, right? Rashi, Shahisa, last Rashi in the Amud. Shahisa, Kishas grew up the Kotzim, Uravimba. It was really inferior. There were thorns in it. And when adding the hops to the water, so it really turned out bad. So once again, same basic idea is that it's not that simple where I just took his hops and I made beer, I'll replace it with my hops. The beer I ended up making was an inferior beer. Either way, the owner of the other pile still has a claim. So the Gemara says, "Mishalnei demekisi." Yeah, you're right. He does have a claim, and therefore, what the Shomer's responsibility is going to be is he's going to be paying him, obviously, with the inferior hops that were left by him. Okay, Adkan. Okay, so those were two more cases from yesterday's daf. We start now today's daf. Mem Gimel Amud Aleph and Hamafkin Maaseh Tzol Shulchani. Okay, you go over to a money changer, and you leave him money. Now, basically, what you're doing now is you are asking him to watch the money. Now, money, of course, comes and money, of course, goes, and the very nature of money is that it shuffles hands all the time. So, basically, when you're saying to a money changer, "Here, hold my money," effectively, what you're saying to him is, "I don't really expect the same money back." Meaning, as long as I get the equivalent currency value of that which I gave you, I'd be fine with it. And considering the fact that you're giving it to a money changer, that context clearly indicates that, you know, if you need to, of course you can use it in your business of money changing. So, money exchanging. So, therefore, it's pretty clear from the context that you're handing him the money, and he is perfectly entitled to make use of that money. With all that stated, Shochani now is what? Meaning, if we're going to label him and put him under a category of Shmira, so what would we call him? So probably the best term is going to be he is a Shoel. I know that sounds funny, but in other words, he's not a Shomer Chinam. He's not an unpaid watchman. Unpaid watchman is not allowed to make use of the item that was given to him. He's not a Shomer Sacher. Shomer Sacher, again, is not allowed to make use of the item that was given to him. So, right? So, rule out A and B. So, basically, the best way to describe him is a Shoel. Somebody who could use the item that was given to him. Even Shoel is a little, is not the best term that's used, because by Shoel, you're normally handing back the same item that you made usage of. Over here, you're not. But still, of all the options that we have, Shoel is probably the best term that we could use to describe him. Okay? So, with all that stated, let's see the Mishnah sign. Hamafkas, Ma'oseh, Shochanim, Sarim, Lo'ishtam, Shemem, Lefichachim, Avdu, Enochai, Bachriyusam. So, the Gemara says, if I hand money to the money changer, but the money is bundled up. In other words, literally, it's tied up. So, lo yishtamish behem. So now, that's the clue to the money changer that normally you're allowed to use the money I give you. I tied it up. I wanted you to watch it. So I wanted you to watch it. Now, because it's tied up and the money exchanger cannot use the money, now he's a shomer. What kind of shomer is he? Shomer chinam. He's not getting paid to watch this money. Im avdu enechai b'achriyusam. That means if the money gets lost, he's not going to be liable, because a shomer chinam is pater b'geneva v'aveda. Mutarin. But let's say the money is not tied up. Let's say the money is left untied. So now we go back to the default, which is he gave it to the money changer so the money changer can use it. Yishamish b'hem l'fichachim avdu chai b'achriyusam. Because the money was left untied, so that means that the money changer can use it. And if the money gets lost now, so he's going to be chai b'achriyusan. Okay, I'll give you a little foreshadow in terms of what we're going to see coming up in the Gemara. If I'm right, which parenthetically I looked at the Gemara coming up ahead, so I have a good feeling that I'm right. If I'm right that he's a Shoel, the Mishnah really stops short from telling us the bigger Chiddush. Meaning, if he's a Shoel, what is a Shoel chayiv in? Everything. Meaning, he's chayiv in Geneva Vaved, he's also chayiv in Ones as well. Why would the Mishnah tell us if the money gets lost, he's going to be obligated? The Mishnah didn't follow through with the Chiddush. The Chiddush really is, he's going to be chayiv on everything, not just on loss. Okay, so foreshadowing Gemara coming up ahead. Okay, now, Eitzel Baal HaBayis. Now, let's say instead of giving money to a money changer, I gave it to my friend, my neighbor, who is not in the business of money changing. So there is an implicit understanding, I'm giving you money to watch, meaning that's all you can do. You can just watch it. That's what I'm asking you to do. So there, the context screams out that you're not allowed to use the money. I'm asking you to watch my money. You're not a money changer. Your job is to watch it. You are shomer chinam, and therefore the money is lost or stolen. So the baal habayis would be pater. Now, chen vani. Now we certainly know the extremes. You hand money to a money changer, he's allowed to use it, unless it's tied up. You hand money to a baal habayis, he's never allowed to use it. You hand money to a chenvani, a store owner. So he does business, but his business, of course, is with product, not with money. So when you hand money to a chenvani to watch, what is he? Is he going to be like the baal habayis, or is he going to be like the shulchani? It's a machlokus in the Mishnah. Chenvani kebaal habayis, divrei Amar, Rav Yehuda amar chenvani keshulchani. So machlokus in the Mishnah, Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that he's going to be treated like the money changer. Meaning that because he sells product, but at the same time also, he needs money as part of his business operation. So therefore, Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that we're going to treat him like a shulchani. Okay, now, Mishum detzurim lo yishamish behem. Here's what the Gemara cannot fathom. If I hand money to a money changer, the big difference between whether he can or cannot use it is whether the money's tied up or the money's not tied up. And I say tied up, I mean that here literally. The money's literally tied up. Gemara says, you ever see a money changer? Meaning some bills are, you know, piles of bills are tied up, some are not. In other words, when he gets to an even number, he wants to tie it up. Meaning, just because it's tied up, that's really going to make the whole difference of whether he can or cannot use it. The Gemara says, I can't fathom. I'm Rav Asi, I'm Rav Yehuda, Bitzurim v'chasum imshana. So the Gemara says, one answer, Rav Yehuda, is that the money's not just tied up, but it's tied up and chasima. There's some sort of insignia on the tie that says, don't use this. In other words, it's a very clear communication built into the tie that you're not allowed to use it. Rav Mari, I'm Rav Bekesh Mishuna. Rav Mari says it's tied up in an unusual fashion. Now, in another version of this discussion, Rav Mari asked the question, what if it was tied up in an unusual fashion? He asked the question, but he leaves the question unresolved. Okay, here we go. Rav Huna says that if, let's say, you handed money to a money changer and the money was untied, so that gives him absolute permission and license in order to use the money. And Rav Huna says, so let's now bring it to its logical conclusion. Well, if he's allowed to use the money, so he's now well beyond a shomer sachar, he's a shoel. He's now allowed to make usage of an item that was given to him. And we know that a shoel is chayiv and owns sin.
Why don't you call him a lovet? Why a shoel? It's money.
Yeah, but... I said this back in the Mishnah. Shoel is not the best term. But in terms of custodial categories, it's the best one that fits. And it brings us to the point which the Gemara now brings us to. You're chayiv an oni, an onsen. You're going to be liable even in the case of onis. V'ha'avdu ketani, the Gemara says, okay, but remember the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, if he loses the money, he's going to be exempt. So, Rabbah says, now Rabbah doesn't say it over here, Rabbah says it based on the mission later on, but it's just good to know in general. And the Gemara uses this Rabbah's point over here. Sometimes when the Mishnah says lost, it doesn't mean oops. Sometimes the Mishnah, when it says lost, means something that happened that was well beyond your control. Meaning, geneva sometimes means you were held up at gunpoint. Being held up at gunpoint is not your classic geneva. Being held up at gunpoint, that's ones. Lost could mean lost at sea. That's ones. That's not just a mistake that was made on the part of the shomer. So the Gemara says, so over here, that's what avuda means. Rav Nachman amar nansu lo. Rav Nachman says that that if there was an onus that happened to the money, he's not going to be liable. Now, Amalei Rav Rav Nachman l'dichad amar nansu lo amalei avishol alayhu. So the Gemara says to Rav Nachman, the Gemara, Rava says to Rav Nachman, I don't understand. What are you saying? He's not chayv in onsen. Of course, he's chayv in onsen. Meaning, what do you think? He's not allowed to make usage of the money. And if, let's say you're right, he's not allowed to make usage of the money. If he's not allowed to make usage of the money, he's not a shoal, and you can't call him a shomer sachar as well. Meaning, essentially, what you're saying is that the money's handed to him, and he's just simply there to watch the money and only watch the money. He is now a shomer chinam. If you're saying he's a shomer chinam, he's not chayv in anything. He's not chayv in ones. He's not going to be chayv in gneva v'aveda. So basically, Rebbe says to Rav Nachman, "What are you saying? If it doesn't make sense." Amalei b'hamo din lach d'ho v'nene mehane ba'u ana di imesra amalei zvina di isbe ravcha. Zavan behu have alay shomer sachar. So what Rav Nachman does is he suggests as follows. Look, if he actually makes usage of the money, which he's allowed to do, so then you're absolutely right. But prior to that point in time, Rav Nachman says, here's my argument. My argument is that he is a shomer, and we'll put him under the category of shomer sachar. It's interesting. Why? Because right now, even though he hasn't made usage of the money yet, but he has opportunity. In other words, you have the peace of mind, the comfort to know that if in the event there is a business opportunity coming, well, I'm prepared. I have this money.
Is that a
Shomer Sachar sometimes means that there's a benefit. It's not tangible. It's not real. It's not real, but there's some sort of benefit being provided. Over here, you can call it a level of comfort. You can call it a peace of mind that I have buying opportunity. That, says Rav Nachman, is where I'm putting him now in the category of Shomer Sachar. Again, once he makes usage of the money, of course I agree with you. Then he's, of course, a shoal. And then he's going to be chayv. He's going to be chayv across the board. I'm saying, but prior to that point in time, I'll call him a Shomer Sachar based on this benefit. Rav Nachman l'Rav Huna. Rav Nachman challenges Rav Huna mafkin. Ma'al seitz lo shochanim surim lo yishamish behem. Lefich chachim hotzi lo ma'al. Sorry. I was right. Hamafke ma'al seitz lo shochanim surim lo yishamish behem. Lefich chachim im hitzo lo ma'al hagizbar. V'im utarim yishamish behem. Lefich chachim hotzi ma'al hagizbar. Okay. This is a Mishnah Me'ilah. We have seen this Mishnah. The Gemara quotes a number of times. The Mishnah over here describes the following. The Gizbar is the temple treasure. Okay. It's a big responsibility. And as part of its responsibility, anytime any of the the temple treasury money gets misappropriated, so now you're talking about the penalty, the Isser in the Torah of Me'ilah. You're mol behektish, you're misappropriating temple funds. And if you do that, so you are going to be chai of Karen, Chomish, and Karban for misappropriating temple funds. So what happened was that the temple treasurer is handing money over to the money changer, and at the time that he hands it over, he totally forgot that the money that he's holding on to right now is temple money, meaning he confused his own money with the temple money. And as such, he now mistakenly handed over temple money over to the money changer. So, im tzrurin, the Mishnah Mila tells us, if the money was tied up, lo yishamish behem lefichachim otzi lo ma'al hagizbar. Well, if the money was tied up, like we learned in our Mishnah over here in Bab Metzia, the two Mishnahs complement one another. So that means that the money changer was not allowed to use the money. And because he was not allowed to use the money, if he does so, that's on the money changer for misappropriating money that he had no right to use. And consequently, it is the money changer who's going to be in violation of the Isser of Me'ilah. However, imutarim, but if the money was untied, so that means that when the money was handed to him, he had absolute right and permission to make usage of the money. Yishtamish behem lefichachim motzim ma'al hagizbar. And as a result of that, once he makes usage of the money, so then Me'ila will be violated. Interesting. Who is violating the Isser of Me'ila? The temple treasurer is violating the Isser of Me'ila. Now, generally, the rule of thumb is ein shliach ledvar avera, that we don't, right, yeah, you know what's coming. So we don't we don't transfer averas over from one person to another. The one who violated the avera, that is going to be the culprit almost always. Notable exception, Mi'ila. Mi'ila is an exception where, when I send somebody else to violate the Isra Mi'ila, obviously unknowingly, and he did it, the Aver transfers back to the Mishaleach. That's the notable exception. Psukim bring us to that conclusion. So the Gemara says, so over here, so the Gizbar is going to be Chayev. Now, the Gemara, we learned the Mishnah Mi'ila together. Now, after having learned the Mishnah Mi'ila, so the Gemara now formulates the following question. So the Gemara says, now, according to you, Rav Huna, so every time the money changer is given money by somebody and it was untied, which means that he could use it, so at that point in time, he's considered a shoal. So, which means that the money now is the money changer's money. My irya hotzi, afilu lo hotzi nami. So the Gemara says, so that now means that if the money has transferred possession from the gizbar to the money changer. Because if you're chayv and ones, that means that money is yours. You're going to be liable under any and all circumstances. Why do we need to wait for the money changer to actually spend the money? Even prior to that point in time, he should be chayiv. So in defense of Huna, the Gemara says, you're right. And the truth of the matter is that even before he spent the money, it is going to be the Isser of Me'ila, once the money went from the Gizbar to the Shochani. The only reason why the Mishnah uses the word hotzi is as a foil for the other part of the Mishnah, where the Mishnah said lo hotzi. Detana resha hotzi, tane seifa nami hotzi. Since in the resha we use the word hotzi, so in the seifa we use the word hotzi as well. And in the resha, what was the point that we wanted to make? That if the money was tied up, so then he didn't have a right to use it. Okay, so basically as a symmetrical balance between the two sides of the Mishnah, that's the only reason why the Mishnah used the word hotzi. But the truth of the matter is, even if he didn't spend the money, once the money was handed over to the money changer, and since he's chayv and onei, so therefore he's going to be liable. Okay, adkan. Okay, so again, just a quick summary. The Mishnah taught us that when giving money to the money changer, under most circumstances, the money changer now has every right to use it. Unless the money was tied up when given to him, and as the Gemara itself refined, not just tied up, but clear indication that the money changer was not expected to use the money, so then he can use it. But other than that, he can use it, and because he can make usage out of it, so therefore the money changer is going to be chayev. Chayev in what? So certainly Geneva Vaveda, but Rav Huna goes actually one step further. He's going to be chayv and ones as well, because we can put him under the category of a shoal. Rav Nachman disagrees to a certain degree, but the but Rav Huna's position is that he is chayv even in onsen. Yeah, so yes. I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that. If he uses it, then for sure. But if not, so I didn't look up the Rambam, but then Rav Nachman may in fact be correct. Okay. Ask me a little bit later today. I'll look it up even better. Okay, Hashaleich Bepikada. Okay, one of the last missions now in the third perek, and we are going to cover one more time this idea of misappropriation. You were a shomer. You were asked to watch an item, and then you failed on your basic responsibility of watching the item, where you take the item and you misappropriate the item. Now, we use the word misappropriation over here, or to be better, to conform better to the Mishnah and the Torah, shlichus yad. We use such terms because the item is already on your property. So, gzela, geneva, usually describe, where I'm taking an item from your property away from your property, or taking an item from you away from you. Over here, shlichus yad is a better term to use in our context because the item is already by you. So now, in order for you to be considered a thief, so you need a form of misappropriation. Now, what exactly does that mean? So we already know. We've seen this before, but we're going to see it again right now. And that is misappropriation that comes at what point in time? When you pick up the item in order to say, now, that's it. I'm shedding my role as a shomer. I now declare myself to be the owner of the item. Or, shlichus yad means that you actually have to diminish its value by taking a sip of the beer that was deposited by you. At what point exactly, at what point in time are you considered to be Sholeach Yad? So the Mishnah doesn't discuss that. We're going to be discussing that in the Gemara, but just that's a heads up of things to come. What is the Mishnah's discussion? Hasholeach Yad bepikadon beishamei army milake bechasa v'yeser. So here we're going to have now a three-way machlokus in terms of reimbursement. Value of items go up, items of items go down. So Beishamai says that you're going to get hit with cheser yeser. If it diminishes in value, you're going to get hit, meaning you're still going to have to pay its original value. And if it goes up in value, you're also going to get hit in that you're going to have to pay back its increased value in the item. Now, if the item is actually... Well, the Gemara is going to make this point. Let's make it now. Sorry. If the item is still here and intact, you give the item back to the original owner. Remember, by Gzela, we said time and again through Abba Bakama, HaReisha Chalafanecha. Once the item is... I'm sorry. When the item is in existence, you just simply hand it back. When the item is no longer in existence, so then you have to pay. Now, normally, what's the rule of thumb by Gzela? Mishamim kishasa Gzela. You pay at the time of the theft. Here, what Beis Shammai is teaching us that when it comes to Shlichus Yad, no. In other words, if the item goes up, you pay for the increased value. If the item went down, you have to reimburse. We'll discuss more of Beis Shammai's opinion in just a moment. Beis Hillel omrim kishas hotza'ah. And Beis Hillel says that you pay at the time of hotza'ah. I will, at this point in the Mishnah, leave the word undefined. I mean, the word means take out, but what exactly does it mean in this context? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to discuss that. And Rabbi Akiva omer kishas ha-tviyah. And Rabbi Akiva says that it goes to the time of the claim that's made. Okay, we'll come back to Rabbi Akiva's position. Okay, so...
Right.
That's Rashi in the Mishnah says that if the item is still intact and I'm giving back the item, so Haresha Chalfanecha. The Mishnah's discussion over here will be only when the item is no longer intact. And now we're appraising the item, and how do we appraise it? The time when I took it, at the time when the claim's made against me, or something in between? Okay. No. Kefal is limited only to the case of Geneva, and only when I'm caught with the item. Okay. No, that's it. You return the item. Okay. So, Amar Rabba, Haiman de Gaza Chavisa de Chamra, Mechavre, Mikar Shavizu, Zahasha Shavi Arba, Tavro, Shasim Shalam Arba, Itbram Mela Mishalim Zuza. So the Gemara here quotes the halacha of Rabba. Comes up a couple times in the Gemara. We saw this back in Baba Kama. It's repeated again also in Sanhedrin. Anyway, the Rabba's halacha goes like this. You steal a barrel of wine. When you stole at the time of the at the time when you stole it was worth one zuz. Okay. Now at a later point in time, wine really appreciated in value. Kind of hard to imagine this kind of appreciation, but either way, it went up now to 4 zuz a barrel. So at the time when you stole, it was worth 1 zuz. At the time now, at a later point in time, it's worth 4. If you drank the barrel or you broke the barrel, so then you're going to have to reimburse the owner 4 zuzin. If the barrel broke on its own, you pay 1 zuz. Let's understand. My time. Now, if you had the barrel intact and you would have returned it, so fine, meaning Haresha Chalafanecha. But because you drank it or because you broke it, you now have gazled it at that point in time, and Vitznan Kol Gazlan Mishalim Kishas Gzela. And we know that every gazlan pays at the time of Gzela. Basically, what the Gemara seems to be saying is as follows. Now, this happens to be a debate amongst the Achronim, but I'm going to say the Gemara over Kipshuto, and that is, you basically stole it twice. One time when you took it away from the owner, and the second time when you either broke it or you drank it. That breaking it or drinking it is Gzela part 2. That's a simple reading of the Gemara. I know that the Achronim discuss this and debate this, but I'm just going to present the Gemara in its most simple, on its most simple level, in the simplest reading of the Gemara, is that basically you're a Gazlan now two times over. And we have a rule that when you are a Gazlan, you pay Kishas Exil at the time of theft. Over here, there actually is theft number one and theft number two. Theft number one, when I take it away from his property. Theft number two, when I drink it or break it, that is thievery part two. And because at the time of the thievery part two, it's now valued at four, so I got to pay back four. However, it bar mimela, but if the barrel breaks on its own, meaning onyx, meaning it just, whatever, somehow it just ruptured. Mishalem zuzah. Then the Gazlan only has to pay one zuz. My time, ahashta lo avid le velo midi. Because at this point in time, he didn't do anything. The barrel just simply broke on his own. So, amai kamei mechayv tale, aishayta de gzela. So over here, there's only one gzela. Gzela part one. There's no gzela part two. And the rule by Gazlan is misham kishasa gzela. We go back to the time of gzela. And aishayta zuza hu deshavya. And it's at that point in time, you only pay one zuz. Okay, so the rule of Rabbah, which the Gemara quotes a number of times here as well, is that you pay kishas gzela. Now, if after the original gzela he then destroys it, either by drinking it or physically destroying it, that we'll call that gzela part two. And that's why if it appreciated by gzela part two, he pays the appreciated amount. Yes.
Whether he drinks it on purpose, whether the barrel is broken on its own, the owner still loses
opportunity. That's correct.
He could have sold it at four.
Agreed. Agreed.
Why isn't that?
The rule is Meshamim Kishas Gzela, because it's at the time of Gzela that'll mark the value they have to pay. The Gemara Baba Kama, I mean, we did this not that long ago. The Gemara Baba Kama bases it on Psukim. But I don't remember the drasha off the top of my head. Okay, so I mean I understand your point. Your point is good, but that's why we assess the gzela.
The concept is not totally unfair because it could also go down and then yes.
It cuts both ways.
Yes.
So agreed. So anyway, so the so now Tanan. Okay, so now that we know the rule of Rabbah, so let's revisit our Mishnah. All right, now our Mishnah, again, he's not a Gazlan, he's a Shomer, who now wants to become a Gazlan. He has aspirations. And now with these aspirations, so he's Mishalech Yad, and now he's going to have to pay. And the Mishnah gave us now three opinions in terms of assessment of how to pay. So let's review. Tanan. Beisila Omrim Kishasotza. So Beisila's position is Kishasotza, my Kishasotza. Now let's discuss. What does that mean? Ilam Kishasotza Mina Olam. Meaning, are we talking about when he destroys the item? Hotza means removal from this world. He destroyed it. Now the Gemara says, now if it went down in value, so the Gemara says, yeah, but again, the rule is you pay based on gzela. And if the item went up and you're basically now going to fine him, so the Gemara says, Haina Beit Shammai. Yeah, but that's exactly what Beit Shammai taught us. And now that comes out that Beisil and Beit Shammai are saying the same thing. Ela Pshita B'Shasotzami Beis Abalim. So the Gemara says, so what it means is that we go back to the time of when he took it from the owner, and that we're going to go back to that point in time of assessment. That's what Otsav means according to Beis Hillel. Now, let's think this through. Rabbah says that when you steal an item, and then at a later point in time, you were to drink the item or break the item, so you pay now based on its current value. Now go back. We do not go back to the time of the gzela. Okay. Now that means that Rabbah's an Amora, Rabbah's position is in alignment with whom? With Beit Shammai. Right. Meaning Beit Shammai is the one who says that there's going to be a new assessment. It's Beis Hillel's position, which is that we always revert back to the time of Gzela. So now, Machlok, Beis Shammai is Beis Hillel. You do not want to be on the side of Beis Shammai. You want to be on the side of Beis Hillel. And that's the Gemara's question. Lema, Rabbah, Damar, Ke Beis Shammai. Okay, so that's not going to be a good position for Rambam. So Amalcha Rabba b'yetzer kuli amalo pligi. So Rabba says, okay, here's what I'll say. I will say that when there's an appreciation of the item and then shlichus yad, I do not think that there's going to be any debate in the Mishnah whatsoever. Neither both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are going to agree that you're going to be assessing them based on the new value. Ki pligi b'chaser, we are going to be discussing now where there was a diminishment of value. Beis Shammai safri shlichus yad einus richa chisaron. So now, what's the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? So now we come back to the technical discussions of when are you formally charged with shlichus yad? So Beis Shammai is of the opinion that shlichus yad does not require chisaron. You don't actually have to diminish its value. So that means now that when it went down in value, it went down in value while it was in the property of the shomer. And Beis Hillel is of the opinion that shlichus yad requires you to actually drink some of the wine. Until you do that, you're not Mishaleach Yad. So that means that even though you had full intention, you had aspirations to be a Gazlan, but you're not actually called a Gazlan until you take a sip. That means that according to Beis Hillel, even though there was intent on the part of the Shomer to become a Gazlan, that doesn't actually happen until he drinks from the wine. And so, as long as he didn't drink from the wine yet, the item is still in the possession of the Marikama, the original owner. And therefore, when making reimbursement, you go back to the time of the original value of the original gzela. Well, then that means then Rava's position, which is that in order to be considered shlichus yad, you actually have to drink some of it. So that means that he's following Beit Shammai. Alahach by my skin, going shatil to lahavi ala gozlos over show shalom idaska miflagi. So the Gemara says, well, maybe over here the question is where he took the barrel in order to use it as a step stool. So therefore he is making usage of the item where he was not given permission. And now this may be the machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. If you're Shol Shalom Midas, are you Gazlan or not? Beis Shammai says you are, Beis Hillel says you're not, and that will then decide whether or not the item belongs to the Shomer. So once again, that Rav puts Rav in a difficult position because he's of the opinion that Shol Shalom Midas, if you're borrowing something without asking permission first, you are considered a Gazlan, and now that has him lining up like Beis Shammai. Elahacha b'shevach shol gzeila kemiflegi. Beis Shammai savrei shevach gzeila denigza havei. Beis Hillel savrei shevach gzeila de gazlan havei. So the Gemara says, well, okay. Point well taken. Maybe the Gemara is our third way of explaining the machlokas, Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. Maybe the entire machlokas is a function of whether or not there is a real appreciation in the item of something that was stolen. Who does that belong to? Owner or Gazlan? And interestingly enough, subject to a debate. Uva plugged the dani tonight. The Tanya Agoza, so Rachel Gazus of the Yalta Mishlamosa, Vladosa, different mayor. Rameir subscribes to the following opinion. Let's say I steal an animal that was pregnant. Animal gave birth. I steal an animal, and then the animal grew wool, and you sheared it. Rameir says all that needs to be returned back to the owner. Meaning any residual dividend coming off of the item stolen belongs to the owner. And Rav Yehuda Amar Gzela Chozeres Be'eineha. And Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that no, only the item itself needs to be returned to the Nigzal. All residual dividends coming off does not belong to the Nigzal, belongs to the Gazlan. I know that seems to be slightly unfair. You steal an item. There is a residual dividend coming off the item. The Gosling gets to keep it. Generally speaking, it's what the Gemara describes as a chote niskar. You know, the sinner now is benefiting as a result of the act. I know, it seems to be a little bit unfair. But Rav Yehuda's position is chozik zela chozeres beinei. And so what the Gemara now is suggesting is that's the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And the Gemara says winner, meaning this is a good way to describe it. You see, when you look back at our Mishnah, the Mishnah's language choice is Beis Shammai says you hit him with Cheser and Yeser. Beis Hillel Omrim Kishas Hotsa'a. The word Cheser and Yeser, as Rashi explains over here, that wording actually fits in nicely with the way we're presenting it, right? Look at Rashi Dekanami. If we were talking about appreciated value or depreciated value, words that would be used were words like zol and yoker. Over here, because we're talking about chaser and yeser, chaser means it's missing. Yeser means there's an additional. So it sounds like that really is the debate in the Mishnah. And now, once we explain the Mishnah that way, the Mishnah does not present the problem to Rabba at all. Meaning Rabba's right. The original position of Rabba. When you steal an item, and then you were either to... If you steal an item, and at a later point in time you were to drink it or break it, Rabba says, that is Gzela Part 2. You have to now pay for what its appreciated value is at Gzela Part 2. And as far as our Mishnah is concerned, our Mishnah is not discussing that at all. What our Mishnah is discussing is that if there is a residual dividend of the item, what happens to the residual dividend? That's the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and that machlokas fits into the same machlokas as Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda regarding Gzela itself.